He's New England's preeminent source on everything Patriots.
They don't have a house in Connecticut.
I have been told the same thing Curran has been told.
The one and only Tom E. Curran joining us.
I bend over to Tommy Curran.
Tom Curran joining us from NBC Sports Boston.
It's time for Tuesday with Tom.
I'm surprised about Tom E. Curran.
So why is he so damn special that we have to call him Tom E. Curran?
Curran. On Dale and Keith.
They don't have a house in Connecticut.
Keep on laughing.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI, Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston is in the house. Hello, Tom.
Hi. What's going on?
Adam Schefter 3 minutes ago tweeted out, and I quote, quarterback Drew Brees announced he will return for the 2020 season.
That's a domino.
How about that? Because that's he also said that he would be back with the Saints or not at all, right?
Well, yes, exactly right.
So, can we cross the Saints off?
Yes, we can.
That was sort of a dark horse team for you.
You know what this means, that? Rich?
What does it mean?
Taysom Hill is available.
Oh, my God. Now, do you like Taysom Hill at all or the idea of Taysom Hill?
I like the concept.
Okay.
I just, when we talk about actual projecting him as a franchise quarterback or even Gardner Minshew-level starter, I mean, what are we doing?
I don't know, just because he had a few gimmick plays here and there.
He has yet to throw double-digit passes.
Oh, I think he's yet to throw three.
I know, I was hedging. I thought that was the case.
I think two is a high for a game, passes.
So
a few more runs. He can cover a punt, though, with the best of them. So, if you know, the Patriots like that. So maybe they would be interested.
I mean, he's basically Cordell Stewart.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe Cordell Stewart wouldn't be Cordell Stewart in 2020. But
true.
Be that as it may, Taysom Hill available as Drew Brees returns. Dale, thank you.
Well, and then Schefter tweeted this out 3 minutes ago, and like you guys, he doesn't say for the Saints. He said, and I quoted it directly,
right.
Quarterback Drew Brees announced he will return for the 2020 season. Well, first of all, return. And he had been saying it was the Saints or nobody.
Now, I wouldn't rule out them investing in both guys, would you?
No, that's because
I don't think Taysom Hill's
I think Taysom Hill's going to be in New Orleans,
and I think he gets a little bit more action, right? Like whatever, because we went through the splits a while ago, and we're trying to figure out if that was a place for Brees or for Brady or whatever. And Brees still plays like 90% of the snaps, whatever it is.
And the guarantee there is it's similar to what Jimmy Garoppolo was confronting in 2017 when he said, "I'm not even going to sit down at the table, guys. I have an opportunity here." Is Taysom Hill, who considers himself a quarterback, going to strike while the iron's hot, not a bad idea, and try to maximize. I don't think it's a horrible idea for him to go out there and say, is there some team naive enough to give me 3 years, $35 million? And if they are, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater, I can't imagine that this is accurate, but it was broached yesterday that he might be worth a $30 million contract. That might be the asking price on
Good
him.
Good Lord.
Which is insane. To me, he is...
I like Teddy Bridgewater, but come on.
Oh, yeah, I mean, but that's a Jacoby Brissett-level contract, I think, as he's coming back. He should be further ahead.
Yeah.
His leg almost fell off. It's back on.
Right.
But he should be, as he continues his comeback, at a Jacoby Brissett, 2 years and 30. And that's healthy.
Yeah.
We should point out, by the way, that we were going to start the show, and I saw this you know, Adam Schefter bomb.
Yeah.
It threw me off track. We were going to start the show by adding Tom E. Curran to our Tom Brady board over there. We don't know which side.
Oh, so the stay or go board.
We've got half of the board is gone.
And the beauty is, if you think he's gone like I do,
like Mike Giardi and Lou Maloney and Levin Reed.
If you're on our side, you don't have to pick a team yet. You can just say gone. So it's Patriots with a field, basically, right now. And Tom, we got a month. You can jump back and forth by the day, depending on the news that you get. Where do you stand right now?
I think it's important to understand that I'm a chronicler of the news, not a predictor of the news. And as a guy who has that kind of integrity and self-esteem, I'm not going to be out there dabbling in predictions, but I think he's gone.
Okay.
Put him on the board.
Put him on the board.
Again, it's not because they want to. It's going to be a blame-free divorce. It's a no-fault accident.
How many blame-free divorces have there been
None
in the history of
ever.
Divorces?
No, there's
I mean,
always. There's
it's
always
shared. It's always shared if it comes to pass. It is always shared.
Okay.
And I think in this instance, if we were divvying up the reasons, the only blame that Tom Brady would share if he ends up someplace else, it's wanting to play until he's 43 or 44. That's the only thing that Tom Brady has done wrong. Whoa. Being too friggin' good, far into his 40s.
Now, do you think there'll be any... Because I think Brady will come out smelling better than the Patriots will. Again, unless the details on this thing are so drastic. But if Brady takes, let's say, a lot more money, well, there'll be some fans that say, well, how can you blame him? The Patriots didn't make him a serious offer. Or there'll be some saying, you know, you never wanted the most money before, and now all of a sudden it's the last contract you're going to sign, and now it's the most important thing?
Think,
what happened?
I think the money would absolutely be used as a cudgel against him if he signed someplace else, regardless, even if he went to the best situation and said, I'll take 25, and they said, no, we think we should give you 35 just so you don't get wanderlust. And they give him that, then it'll be, well, I thought you said it wasn't about the money, it was about the weapon.
Took
but apparently
money.
It was about the money.
Yeah, I know.
But I think that, really, I could even envision Brady, because the money is not a huge issue, and this is not reporting by any stretch, but I could envision him going someplace and saying, give me 22.99999999. I don't want it to seem as if I did it
just
about the money.
Just stick it to him, too.
I don't want
I'm playing for less than I did a year ago. Yeah, he could. But don't you think the extra year
by the
be
way, if that
though,
happened,
right?
His legacy here would be shattered.
Shattered?
No, it wouldn't.
Shattered?
There's nothing that could shatter it.
If he goes somewhere else for less money than
could not
here,
shatter it. I'd still blame the Patriots.
Oh, no way.
I'd still blame the Pats.
I think a lot of people would say, well, see what you did? You forced them to. You gave them Jacoby Myers.
Shattered.
Gunnar Olszewski.
That is.
I mean, the flip would be for a fan or a media member to
how
say
did
to you,
entice
Dale,
him to stay?
That their faith was, his faith in them was shattered.
Well, and I'll put it to you this way. Assuming that the Patriots didn't offer him at least as much as he made last year, and I think they'll offer more. Even if it's a one-year deal, I think they'll offer more.
Yeah, inflation, you got to keep up with the Joneses.
I mean, whether it's going to be 30 or not, I don't know, but it's going to be more. It's going to be north of what he was last year.
Yeah.
If he then goes somewhere else and takes less money, I think that's going to be tough for a lot of folks around here.
I think that it would absolutely amplify for him by an act that this was not about the the money, Dale.
See, that's what you can't win with everybody regardless.
Sorry, I just blew your ear off.
Yeah, you're screaming at us.
Hold on.
Well, I wanted to do the old Movon thing.
No, it was that was good. Nice callback.
Well done.
But I think that just in this conversation alone, there's only three of us, and we're all going to see it differently. So you open it up to every Patriots fan, they're all going to view it differently. Either he took less, and that's bad, or he took more, that's bad.
Oh, no.
If the
Vegas Raiders offer him $35 million a year for 2 years, most people around here would say, well, what the hell is he supposed to do? I mean, of course he's going to go. Of course, I mean, look,
no,
I don't want
would,
him to
they
go.
They would say, what, are you going to win with the Raiders?
You,
like, what's going on?
I think that's crazy. I think from what we've tried to frame as being the issues, that we're sitting here today still talking about the money as a linchpin to the entire deal is cuckoo.
I said of the three things that I think are at the top of Brady's importance list, I've got money third.
Okay.
Number one, I've got the people around him. Number two, I've got term of the contract. Number three, I've got average annual value.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the least important of the three, with the exception being, in your instance, I'll take $1 less than the Patriots paid me. Well, I think that's going to piss a lot of people off.
And I think that I'm overstating.
Right.
Yeah.
But look, you even look at his Instagram account yesterday. And I wrote yesterday how little rancor there is. And there will be very little rancor. But bubbling beneath the surface will be, if Tom Brady lands someplace else, when he says, it's time to prove you wrong, again, it's not the world. It's not the NFL. It's about one place. It's about the people here who didn't give him the second year, mm-hmm. who have him on the cusp of free agency. And believe me, and I wrote this in my story, folks in Foxborough are very, 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 very motivated if Tom Brady goes someplace else to make sure that Tom Brady doesn't in 2020 end up with more wins than the Patriots.
I'm sure they are motivated. Doesn't mean they can do any damn thing about it.
No, but I think that
I thought
that
they were motivated to win last year, too, and based on the people that they put around him, it didn't look so
there's
good.
There's a different motivation, though, isn't
for,
it?
For both guys, there suddenly is. Or both sides. For the Brady side, there is. Right. And for the Patriots side, there absolutely is. And that's why, as a Patriots fan, which I am, first and foremost, I want Brady back because I think it gives them the best chance to win. But as a sports fan and somebody that roots for chaos a lot of the times, it's clearly him going somewhere else and then seeing it unfold. And then us here on this job, we're going to treat Brady's team like the Patriots. So every Monday we're going to come in breaking down the Patriots game and the Brady game. And then
the Vegas Raiders tilt.
And my God, when those two worlds collide, which they could if he goes to Miami or the Raiders or the Chargers, when they play each other, that's going to be as big as the Super Bowl.
I just think that, generally speaking, you will always side with the great Hall of Fame player over the organization. I'm actually surprised at how much I'm hearing, seeing it on the text line, hearing it from callers. Come on, he's 43 years old. He's going to be 43 years old next season. And really?
I think that there's a lot of rip off the Band-Aid mentality,
yeah,
too, that
and,
exists.
And because just the way that the season is set up and the way free agency doesn't begin until mid-March, and they were out so early this year, at least, well, for them,
right,
that there's just been so much discussion about it. And there's nothing either side can really do right now. I mean, outside of just signing him, but that's not how it's going to work. So there's just so much of the, all right, let's hurry up and get to it part of it.
Look,
what is life actually going to look like here?
If Belichick, you know, John Lester's him, well, yeah. Belichick's going to get pummeled in the court of public opinion around here. If he lowballs him,
he gives him like a pay decrease.
Yeah, you know, that sort of, then nobody's blaming Brady for going somewhere else.
Right.
If in the scenario, though, even exaggerated, that Tom painted where, you know, I just want to go there. I'll take less money to go there. People around here are going to be pissed. They're going to feel jilted by the greatest player that they've ever seen play football in these
parts. They might. I mean, but both, like we said, are going to be so motivated where Brady's not going to just clearly go anywhere that offers him the most money in years, because he wants to have a 35 touchdown season, a 5,000 yard passing season. And whether it's the record or just who's playing longer in the postseason, that is going to be such a motivation for him throughout the entire year. And I wonder too, Tom, like, if your mentality is that's how it could play out, don't you get yourself that far along where there's no turning back? Like, if you're already kind of pitting yourself against them,
I think that if you are mentally, and again, as I wrote in the story that I put up today, there's no rancor. Mm-hmm. I think there's even a solemnity to the proceedings.
I don't know what that word means,
Smith.
So I'm going to take it as
an
insult.
You know what solemn means.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but when you put a little twist on it.
Well, I think that they look at it. This ain't no joke. This is a big deal. This is something we need to approach. The team, I think, and Brady both, they want to give each other every opportunity. Maybe when they sit down at the table, you know, the backs of T-shirts saying that, you know, we'll prove you wrong again, or, you know, don't believe in me, or don't bet against me, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
All those things will be kind of smoothed over as they sit down and have a real conversation. But I was asked last night what the conversation would sound like. And again, these are hypotheticals and I'm theorizing. But to me, the conversation would be and consist of first Bill Belichick saying, what do you want? Not here's what we're going to offer you. What do you want?
Right.
Articulate it, Tom.
And don't you think Tom's first response would not be 2 years, $60 million? It would be a tight end and a receiver, or maybe
he gets specific.
Maybe he has guys in mind. Like, I would think that would be how the conversation begins. And if you're Belichick, all those guys would probably be on your list anyway. Because even if you have to turn it over to Jared Stidham, or you have to turn it over to Jameis Winston, they need to throw to somebody too.
And I think that's what's interesting about this, not just the tampering period, but the Patriots timetable. And in the story I wrote, mentioning that nothing is going on, nobody is urgent about that. It will probably begin, or will begin, in a couple of weeks. I'm pinpointing that couple of weeks as being toward the end of the combine, during the combine, or right after. When they get together, I would imagine, again, maybe I'm overestimating,
I don't think there's going to be some long, drawn-out negotiation.
I don't think the negotiation might be long.
Right.
I think that the conversation could be long.
Sure.
What are we going to do? They
can do on the back of an envelope sort of thing.
Right. But, okay, so we're thinking this trade, mm-hmm, this free agent, Hunter Henry here. Well, how are you going to accomplish that? These are the things we might need to do, and this is what we're going to need from you financially. We're thinking, you know, all of those things have to be broached and worked through. So they do need to sit down. If Brady is asking for something more to make him feel good about coming back, there needs to be a meeting.
Is part of the conversation from Belichick to Brady centered around OTAs?
Well, that's, to me, an interesting point. I think that I would say that it was if I were Bill Belichick.
Especially if you do go ahead and bring in a lot of new faces. Like, listen, we gave you Mohamed Sanu midseason. That didn't work. We drafted a receiver in the first round. That didn't work. So you're going to have to also give us a little something.
A big part of Tom Brady's reticence to come in for OTAs and anything that's voluntary is the fact that he's working for less. So he said, you know what? I'm going to work to rule, as, you know, teachers do when they have a contract strike. They leave right at boom, right at the bell, and don't stay until 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, as many teachers do.
So you don't think it was a family thing then?
I think it was both.
So
I'm not going to stay away from my family and give you work for free when you can't pay me a going rate during the season. And when I get to the season, the guys you surround me with are just converted corners from Bemidji State. I think that there was absolutely...
that was one example
all right,
of that.
One guy.
That was one guy.
Okay, I used a good one, though.
That's a good one.
He legit went to Bemidji State.
But I think that absolutely part of the, I'm not going to OTAs and training camp.
So part of it could be just even if he gets a contract that is more respectful towards him, then maybe he says, yeah, all right, I'm back in now.
Yeah, I mean, they could either come to great harmony and unity and move forward with a tremendous amount of momentum.
I also wonder,
or they can say that, you know, it's just not going to work. And I think the latter is more likely given the momentum in that direction.
I also wonder the timetable of this whole thing, because I think everybody sort of pointed out, you know, Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper are the two top tight ends on the market right now. And if you said, hey, Brady, if you sign, we'll sign one of those guys. But what, he has to wait for that to happen? Or if you say to Hunter Henry, hey, we'd love to have you, and he's like, well, who's your quarterback? You're like, well, it's going to be Brady, but you have to sign first. And he's like, well, no, he's going to sign first. I'm not coming here to play for Stidham, right? Because the Patriots, again, are good, and you have Belichick in place, and it's a winning environment. But it's not the Super Bowl guarantee.
But you know the illegal tampering stuff that we all know happens?
Yeah.
Right now, I would guess that somebody in the Patriots organization has reached out to both of those top free agent tight ends and said, hey, listen, fellas, we want you.
I'm just saying
to each one. Don't sign anywhere yet.
No, you might be right.
We're gonna get Tom to come back. We want you to be his target.
But I'm literally gonna sign when he signs, like via Skype. I'm gonna be watching him sign because like, oh, we saw McDaniels back out of a deal. Like, I'm not gonna just take a handshake agreement because now all of a sudden you're committed to 4 years in New England with Jarrett Stidham for a tight end. Like, that's not what you're looking to do.
And also remember, if that's on your wish list, then you also have to live in fear of the franchise tag, which is very reasonable for the tight end.
Henry probably will get franchised. Yeah, good point.
So can you franchise and trade? That's the other aspect that I mentioned in the column today is, you know, while there are not negotiations, my understanding is that there are conversations about, okay, these are the guys, and there's conversation about these are the players who would fit if Tom came back. What can we do? And how can we set up to attack it?
Hasn't the narrative surrounding Tom Brady for all these years been that, you know, money was not the driving force? That, in fact, while he certainly got paid, you know, very fine, he didn't demand to be the top paid quarterback when he could have and should have. He did take less than he could have gotten because he was allowing them to pay that 53rd guy on the roster and all that stuff. So now we're to believe that all that's changed? Now the money. Now you better come with the money here.
Well, Dale, think about it. If you take less and take less and take less, and the promise is that we're going to spend this money to make people around
you
better.
And they
have. No, they haven't.
Well, last year it didn't work. But
right.
Through the course of his career, they've been in 9 Super Bowls.
Let's just talk about since 2016. He's taken less and taken less and taken less and been rolled around in a mud wrestle at the negotiating table.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it's September. We still don't have a wide receiver. Let's go get Josh Gordon. Oh, it's September. We still don't have a wide receiver. Let's see. Oh, Antonio Brown just got cut.
Oh, no. Last year, it failed epically. But I'm just saying, over the course of his career here.
But I'm not talking about the course
Belichick,
of his career.
The Belichick way of approaching this has worked really well.
Yeah, but if you're going to take less money.
But also because you have Brady, though. Let's be honest.
If you're going to take less money so that the players around you can be more capable, then they better be more capable.
Right.
So I don't understand.
They're going to trade Gronk.
So anyone who says
how,
anyone trying to get their mind around why is it about money all of a sudden for Tom Brady, it's because they're getting it both ways. New England has been. They've been getting it both ways. We're going to do this, but then we're going to spend our money on Dante Hightower and Devin McCourty and Daron Harmon. We're going to pay more than Julian Edelman. You know, all of these things. they all get filed away.
Yeah, and you'd have to pay a lesser quarterback more. Like, just any starting caliber quarterback, chances are, is going to have to get paid similar to what Brady's been paid, right? This whole time, while he's been a top one, two, maybe down to five quarterback in the league. So that is not something that I think over time it's just going to wear on you. And then when you're
looking
at your
teammates, what I was saying about the reaction among the fans, you know, and if he goes and signs for less money somewhere, the reaction among the fans, one of the things they've always loved about this guy is that it wasn't always about the money. And they do talk about the fact that the combined household income in that family is really high.
Yeah, but there's a respect factor, too.
Yeah, and I understand that. But if all of a sudden now what really matters is I got to get $30 million or whatever number. I'm just throwing that out
Yeah,
there.
I don't think it's the
dollar. I can see where there are fans who are going to go, wait a minute.
No, but
you can't worry about people who want to sing that song anyway. There's a lot more nuance involved, as I just kind of mentioned. You know, why was Gronkowski pissed off when his very lucrative contract got picked up, the option got picked up in 2016, I think? He had a great contract, 6 years, $54 million. They picked up the back end, and all of a sudden, he was paid less than Dwayne Allen.
Right.
Well, that pissed him off. Why would it piss him off? Because he had exceeded what they had expected, and they kept him under that contract. That's why he may well never come back to play for this team, and he's not playing football now.
And now, I don't know this for a fact. I don't think anybody knows it for a fact. Maybe Tom does, but
he knows a lot of stuff.
The fact that you're also negotiating with a guy.
Acts like it, too, though.
I know.
You're negotiating with a guy in Bill Belichick, who I believe, by all accounts and by all murmurings out there, is the highest paid coach in football, right? And may even have a clause in there where if another guy gets a big contract, his contract's bigger. So you're like, well, I'm giving up something for the team.
It's still a fraction of what the quarterback's getting paid, but...
Well, as far as we know, I don't even know if we know the exact amount
Let's say it's $15 million, which I think might be too high, but let's just say that it is. That's still a... You know,
well, one guy's the quarterback of the football team.
Right.
And I would also say that but my point is, where does he rank? Like, he's not looking up and being like, oh, my God, they're paying Bruce Arians more than I am. Or they're paying, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Tom Brady equivalent, he had a whole list of guys last year making more money than him. Bill Belichick did not and does not, at least by all accounts. There's no public contract for Bill Belichick, but that's kind of what everybody gathers. Fair?
I was just reading this ridiculous thing. That's
Shime's blog.
You know what? No, it was... There's a New England rugby team that's starting, and Nate Ebner and Patrick Chung are going to introduce them tomorrow. And where I glitched, guys, and this is transparency. This is what happens when you have the adult onset ADHD.
Yeah.
Undiagnosed. When you see Wednesday at exclusive media event, I'm like, why are you telling me today?
Today is Tuesday.
I mean, it's...
Get you out ahead of it.
We got Chung and Nate Ebner tomorrow. What'd you just say?
So my great point, I'll boil it down too, because the listener probably got distracted as well, Tom.
Oh,
they all have phones.
They don't need to hear it again.
Else. But my point is, Brady has to look up at worse quarterbacks getting paid more than him. Bill Belichick does not look up at worse coaches getting paid more than him.
No, we have a salary cap here.
No, I understand. I understand. Yeah. Bill, I understand the rules. They're different for coaches.
Well, Bill, you also have four coaches total. Some teams have 21.
Spread it around a little bit.
But I'm not debunking your notion about the dreck that has been placed around Brady since 2016. They've been to four Super Bowls since then.
Oh, 100%.
They've won a couple of them.
No.
Brady's a big part of it, but he's not the only part.
No, but he overcome
the dreck, quote unquote, that they put around him has been good enough.
But do you feel I'm referring to dreck?
No, that's
vis-a-vis the whole
the
decade.
Players are,
I'm talking
18
and
2016.
I'm talking 18. Well, I'm talking about the payments in 16. I mean, think about it. Since 16, you had Amendola and Brandon Cooks on the team in 2017, and Rob Gronkowski. Take the injuries away. All three of those players have left. None of them have been replaced sufficiently. Cordarrelle Patterson came and went. Chris Hogan fell off the cliff when his situation rose.
Eric Decker.
Kenny Britt. Eric Decker.
Yeah.
But I mean, so that's kind of what I'm saying is I'm not saying that it's been an ass team for a decade. Of course not.
No, but I also think that they get a lot of credit for, oh, look at the way they spend their money and look at the way they add special teamers and everything. Well, if you don't have Tom Brady, none of that looks so great. You're not winning a lot of games. You might have a really good punt coverage team, but the way they handle
this year
cap,
was the aberration.
Well, they were really
They actually
good at that.
Won a lot of games.
They were really
because
good at
of
that.
The special team.
Well,
because
and the defense.
Of recovering punts.
Yeah. And the defense was. But I think overall, in the course of the 20 years, it's more because you had the best quarterback and less because of how you were able to manipulate the cap.
I think the first 2000 to 2009 was Bill. he had a larger slice. And I believe that 2010 to 2019 has been Brady with the larger slice and a bigger burden.
That makes sense.
A larger slice, but Belichick, A, is the best coach in the game and makes a huge difference in winning and losing, obviously. And B, as the de facto general manager without the title, he's also putting players around Brady that allows this team to be the most successful NFL franchise maybe ever.
Or not putting them around him and knowing that, this guy will figure it out because I found a gem at that quarterback 20 years ago.
617-779-7937. I promise your call's coming up next with Tommy Curran. First, it's time to trend.
The reviews are in.
First of all, I'm a Daleaholic. You guys listening to you two together is great.
Thanks for being on every day and entertaining us.
This is Dale and Keith.
Hi, Dale.
This show has really grown on me. Rich is whacked.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Visit WEEI.com/Aruba. Enter the code word WALK. Not the thing you cook in. The thing you take your dog on. WALK. Right now, for a chance to win an all-inclusive 5-night, 6-day trip for two to Aruba, you'll stay at Divi Village Golf and Beach Resort with the links at Divi Aruba, a meticulously landscaped 9-hole ocean view golf course that offers play over the water and beautifully landscaped lagoons. So enter the code word WALK now at WEEI.com/Aruba for your chance to win a getaway to Aruba, one happy island. Your next chance to win comes at 4:30 today with Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. It's brought to you by Divi Village Golf and Beach Resort and the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, is in the house with us. Let's get to the phone calls.
You've been to Aruba?
I never have. Heard it's wonderful.
You really got to go. Yeah. You know why? Because it's so manageable. I've gone twice. It's so freaking manageable. It's a great downtown. It's so friendly. It's so friggin' safe. I am telling you, what a great, great, great place. You been?
I have. Lovely.
Do you...
Best beaches.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I mean, I've...
A couple of casinos, which is
I mean,
nice.
Bermuda has some unbelievable beaches.
I've never been to Bermuda.
So, but...
I've been to...
It's just so friggin'
Revere
easy.
Beach and Aruba, so...
Well, then they...
Sort of my two. But Hampton. I like Hampton Beach.
Nice.
That's nice.
Well, anyway, sorry. Yeah.
You have to have goals. All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. Biff is in New Hampshire. Hi, Biff.
Hello.
Biff. Hi.
Hello, Biff.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nothing.
So... We all know he don't care about the money, right?
Who doesn't?
The money's not a... Brady.
Money's not the priority, right?
Right. So...
Doesn't mean he doesn't care about money. It's not the right. highest priority.
No. Yeah, exactly. So why wouldn't he do... Why wouldn't they bring him something like, 2 years, $30 million, $5 million this year, $25 next year?
Because they want to go year to year. That's why we are where we are. And I think that paying him less, Biff, in the realm of... an average of $15 million a year, again, flies in the face of, we're going to spend less, just trust, we'll spend less on you, just trust us.
That's John Lestering him. If you're offering a two-year deal that averages $15 million a year, when he made $23 last year, that's the John Lester disrespect card. And while I don't think money is the most important aspect of this for Tom Brady, why would you go out of your way to insult the greatest player in the history of your franchise, if not the entire league?
Yeah, and that's one, too, where if you find out that's what the offer was and he goes somewhere else, then it's going to be unanimous. Everybody's going to be on his side, right, rooting for all of a sudden the Titans now because the Patriots offered him $15 million a year or whatever it was.
Chris in Medford. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Chris.
So basically, this is my take on it, right? I think the narrative shouldn't be, like, what team is Brady going to make better? Is Brady going to come back to the Patriots? He's not coming back to the Patriots, first of all, right? I think it comes down to a ticket sales thing. And I think that the best team that Brady could play for, not only maybe he might be able to help him out a little bit, but also sell tickets, shine a huge spotlight on the franchise is the Raiders.
And so that's the... But Chris, that would be the GM's goal and the owner's goal, but why would that be Brady's? I don't think he's going to a team that is just going to sell tickets. I think he wants to go to a team that's going to win and win more than the Patriots.
I think the Raiders are very good. And although I think that Derek Carr in that system, he might be the more skilled player, I think his fit with the Raiders, their receiving core is not bad at all. was a great running game. I think you're wrong when it comes to that. I think
No, Chris. I'm just saying your point. If it happens to be both things, then great. Like if the owner goes all in, like, hey, we're going to sell tickets, even though they've already sold out their place, so
they don't have any tickets to sell.
But I'm saying it's if he's like, oh, well,
tickets
you're wrong.
Tickets don't matter anymore. No, the gate doesn't matter.
The TV contract matters. And the TV contract. You get all the primetime games.
How much you can sell, your parking, your preseason, all of those things. In-stadium sponsorship matters. Tickets don't matter. Buzz matters. I don't disagree with that, but there's a crap load of buzz there already.
The caller does agree with me because as soon as I said, well, he wants to go to the best team, he's like, well, their team is really good. I'm like, okay. He wants to go to...
I mean, honestly, in my estimation, the best team out there, guys, is Tampa Bay in terms of plug and play.
Yeah, we've used that.
That is the
great
most...
wide receivers, good young tight end.
The best individual stats.
And by
Brady,
the way, a coach who likes to throw the football all around the lot.
I don't know if they get the most wins, though.
As someone pointed out to me, though, the other day, the way he likes to throw it isn't necessarily one that dovetails nicely with the way Tom Brady likes to throw it. Bruce Arians likes to throw it 40 yards down the field.
That probably
Tom Brady
doesn't
likes
play.
To work between 8 and 12.
Yeah, that's true. I also think, I mean, they need to clean up their defense a little bit. Like, Tennessee, to me, seems like the most obvious. Like, if he whatever team he goes to, and then you see what the Super Bowl odds are for that team.
Yeah.
I think out of the ones that are available, the Titans would probably be the best. Again, assuming they bring Derrick Henry back, would probably be the highest.
I mean, the only franchise that needs the public relations gimmick that would be Tom Brady is the Chargers.
Yeah.
They are the number two team in the new football Taj Mahal.
They need it bad.
They're not selling PSLs. They're not selling season tickets. They are the ugly stepchild to the Rams over here. They need Tom Brady as a marketing tool almost more than they need him as a football player.
Yeah, they do, but they're not able to be taken seriously right now. I spoke to Nick Hardwick, who is former Pro Bowl center with them. He was with the team from 04 to 14. He's in the media now in San Diego, and he said, look, you're talking about, and this is something, again, that somebody close to the situation pointed out, when Tom Brady gets out there and starts looking at things, will he have a good command of what he's looking at in terms of the amenities? For instance, Nick Hardwick goes, why would he come here? Patriots have two private jets with the logo on the side. We have, in San Diego, L.A., a retrofitted cargo plane. We once went to Miami and hadn't paid for the police escort, so we were all on our phones trying to give directions to the Spanish-speaking driver how to get where we needed to go.
Yeah.
These are the things that happen in other places. What is the nutrition like in other places? Do they have that? Do they have sleep pods like the Patriots have? Do they have flotation beds? Do they do all of those different things? Those are the things, too, that Brady might see after he gets out there. But, guys, after he gets out there, well, it might be too late.
But does word get out with that kind of thing? And if you're making the pitch to Brady, you show him all that stuff.
Have to.
And, oh, by the way, I think he might bring his own nutritionist guy. There's a chance, right?
Oh, I'm sure that he'll continue on the same path of nutrition that he's on and the same path of training that he's on. But if you're walking through a locker room and you see a whole pile of Cheetos, Cheez-Its, and M&M's for in-between meeting snacks.
No, we're not doing that.
Then he'd be like, is this what you guys eat?
Guys, we're burning this to the ground, and we'll start anew.
Are you of the opinion that there will be some free agency tour for Tom Brady?
No. From what I'm hearing, and this is more of an I'm hearing than I've been told, differentiate.
It would be hard to hear it if you weren't told.
Well, like I can listen to Jimi Hendrix, but I can't hear him.
Oh,
He's probably not going to get into some kind of the Peyton Manning, I'm going to go every place, shake a bunch of hands, you'll see me.
He should do the Kevin Durant thing. Go to the Hamptons and have those teams come to you.
I believe that may be a central plan. No. Centralized.
Or Greenwich.
He's got a house.
The new house. I'm just doing that to touch Tom Curran off.
All right.
He and I are on the same page. Don't believe he's got a house there.
So, but wherever he wants, but maybe teams or representatives go to
Chicago. Go to
him.
Go right there in the middle of the country. Big bang.
Could be.
Bing bang.
But, and that makes sense. I mean, there's going to be
something a little warmer than that. Maybe like Florida.
Show me's all about business. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing, too, that's interesting is the folks who mentioned, Brady has to be able to promote TB12 and get that. That is so friggin' secondary if he signs someplace else. Priorities 1 through 38 will be playing football.
Yeah, winning.
Making sure that we perform better than everyone thinks. It will be interesting, though.
Although if he paired up with Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys brand,
mm-hmm.
it would be an immense marketing juggernaut.
It really would.
Do you think if Brady plays for another team, do you think that team and the Patriots will be the league's best rivalry next year?
No, it depends.
Well, Denver and New England became a great rivalry.
Just because.
You know,
right.
Tim Tebow leaves, Brock Osweiler leaves, next thing you know, it's Manning, and then it was pretty legit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It depends on if you even get to see him. If he goes to Vegas, they're coming here, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to see the Raiders.
But I can't imagine that suddenly the Raiders are going to become your rivals.
I don't know. But as far as if you're all in on Team Pats, right, and you support the logo, you support the team, not the player, then you're going to want to make sure that they got that one right and that the Patriots finish with a better record. And that's how I kind of view rival, too. Like, there are some years where you don't play the Ravens or whatever, but you kind of always hope that you're better than them. Or the Steelers, right? I mean, it seems like you do play them every year, but you're always trying to be better than the Steelers, whether you're playing against them or not. And I feel like that's probably how it's going to be viewed here.
When I said earlier that I had heard as many as 11 teams had expressed some level of interest in Brady, thankfully Pittsburgh wasn't one of the 11. That's the one that would kill me.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be the weirdest.
That would be the one, you know, where I think at that point, Patriots Nation would say, really?
Mm. Yeah, Pittsburgh would be tough. Baltimore would be really tough. That ain't going to happen. But
right.
Yeah, they're kind of set there.
They got a guy, but those would be really strange.
David's on the cell phone. Hey, David, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Doing great.
So they say those that don't understand history are doomed to repeat it. So the question I have for all the people that think the Patriots are going to be great without Brady but keeping Belichick, I ask them this. Then why didn't it work before Mo Lewis intervened? The fact of the matter is that Belichick inherited a team that Marty Schottenheimer took to 3 out of 4 AFC championship games in Cleveland and then was under 500. Then he goes to the Patriots and has the only 5-13 stretch Drew Bledsoe ever had, a healthy Drew Bledsoe, and the only 5-13 stretch the Patriots have had under the Kraft ownership when they've been a good team. Tom Brady shows up and suddenly they start winning. And the thing that I don't understand is this. Where's the proof that it's Bill's system? It's not Bill's system, just like it wasn't Dick Vermeil's system in St. Louis. If it's not for Rodney Harrison, there is no greatest show on turf. If it's not for Mo Lewis, there is no dynasty. There was no articles being written that Bill was about to turn this team around, and no one knows that more than Curran.
No, I actually disagree with that.
No, there's no way he should. There's no way.
Dave, you just helped. You had the conch for about 45 seconds.
He's a $100 million quarterback.
I understand that.
Pass it.
Dave, pass it. He absolutely had the team moving in the right direction, but he did need the intervention. Stop it.
Dave,
stop.
You passed it.
Dave.
You passed it. You know it. Sorry you have to protect your press.
Stole it back.
Good for you. But it's a fact. Watch them go 5-11.
Don't you have like a mute thing so I can actually say what they're saying?
Put him on mute. I actually am fascinated to hear what Tom's going to say because he was covering the team then.
He had them moving in the right direction. He needed the Bledsoe situation moved out of the way,
mm-hmm.
but that team had to renovate, as did the Cleveland Browns have to renovate after Marty Schottenheimer, mm-hmm. which they did. They improved significantly. So you can look at it one way. Belichick either renovated the team, found the right quarterback, which he absolutely did in Brady, because the performance of Bledsoe, the 5-13, he was very much had a hand in.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot say that Belichick didn't renovate either of those teams. He did with both of them.
All right, Dave, now you can bellow away.
All right, so you say that he renovated the Patriots, but the fact of the matter is that the 96 Patriots had more in common with the 2001 Patriots, personnel-wise, than the 2018 Patriots had with the 2014 Patriots.
It only took 3 years for them. Dave, you got
to
go back and forth.
You don't know what you're talking about.
He's not having
you
that.
Just don't want to admit that Bill's way doesn't actually work,
Dave,
without a deferential superstar.
What happened in 97, 98, and 99? They traded for Bill Parcells. They got 4 draft picks back in return. They pissed away every single one. They paid Max Lane, Todd Rucci, Ben Coates, Bruce Armstrong, Andrew Bledsoe, exorbitant amounts of money, and they got nothing back, and they ended up in cap friggin' jail. So whatever Parcells brought in 96 was so diminished over the next 3 years by the Greer, Carroll, Wozenchuk triangle of checks and balances, that by the time Belichick showed up, they had to sweep out and renovate and fumigate the entire joint.
And fun fact, the last Cleveland Browns head coach to win a playoff game
is Bill Belichick.
1994.
Yeah.
It's Bill Belichick. Yeah, I mean, no one's saying, all right, we're done with that guy. Nobody's saying that Tom
Why
Brady
is
not
so
great.
Mad?
He doesn't like, he says it's all Brady, not Belichick. He's one of those guys.
And that's fine.
If he suggests otherwise.
To be so militant, and in other words, my opinion is the only one that could possibly be right, seems a little short-sighted to me. But
I know. And they did go 11-5 with Castle and 3-1 with a young Garoppolo and Brissett. But whatever.
I mean, you've got to get your program implemented.
Yeah, you do.
It's not a system; it's a program. A system is what I look at defensively or offensively, right? Program is the whole culture, the whole deal.
Everything.
But the trick of the whole thing is we have 5 seasons in Cleveland. A season and a quarter of just Belichick. Every single snap Brady has taken in the NFL,
right.
Belichick's been the coach. So we don't really know for sure. Like if Brady played for Pete Carroll for all those years, how would that have worked out? If Brady played for Tony Dungy, how would that work out? We don't know. And that's another reason why next year will be so fascinating. I know it'll be 43, but still, we might have our first chance to see him with another coach.
Do you think Tom Brady would have become a starting quarterback someplace else?
No. He was a 6th-round. I mean, maybe if there was some other guy
that got
hurt.
When you think about it?
No. Yes, it is crazy. I actually think about it every once in a while. I am shocked.
He might have become the catcher for the Montreal Expos.
Say the Falcons drafted him, for instance. I don't even know who was in place in 1999 for them. Vic. Chris Chandler, then Vic. So he would have been backing up Chandler. Maybe they didn't take Vic. Maybe they said, screw it, this kid's not coming along quick enough. We've got to take Vic.
4th-string quarterback, and he was drafted in the 6th round. So every team had a chance. So you needed your quarterback in the first couple of years, by the way, to get hurt.
And you needed a coach, David, with the balls to say, you know what, I know that we just did 10 years and $103 million, and I know that we're opening up a new stadium, CMGI Field, and I know that's really important.
It's still insane. I mean, the series of events. Guy. Yeah, right, because everybody says, oh, Mo Lewis. Yeah, that's a big part of it, but Belichick had to put him in there.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe. Tom Curran is in the house with us, Sports Radio WEEI.
Now back to Dale and Keefe.
I'll let this cat out of the bag
on WEEI.
So the Dale and Keefe Twitter account earlier today tweeted out the Rich Keefe scoop. And Rich told us earlier, according to a source, a couple of days after the Mookie Betts trade, the Red Sox reached out to a bunch of social media influencers in and around Boston. They reached out to them hoping they would promote the Red Sox. So Bruce Arthur, who is one of the premier sports columnists in all of Canada, writes for the Toronto Star, TSN contributor, 142,000 Twitter followers, retweeted that tweet and wrote, "How things work now. File this away."
It does seem like, I mean, it's obviously popular with a lot of people, hence why they are influencers, and a lot of people kind of scoff at it, right? But a lot of these people, whether it be on Instagram, Twitter, or whatever else, stuff that I've never even heard of, they have a lot. Not only do they have a lot of followers, but if they're at a restaurant, all of a sudden that restaurant views like they're getting more people are going in there or whatever. I also heard a little update to this story as well, is that when the influencers reached back out to the Red Sox to see like what kind of pay they could expect, because these people don't do anything for free.
Sure.
You know, Kendall Jenner's not telling you about Fyre Festival for nothing. It was in lieu of payment, you could get box seats and the Fenway experience. Hard to entice a lot of people, so I'm guessing
probably a lot of elbow room there this summer.
I'm guessing a lot of people are going to say no on this sweet opportunity.
Just take your medicine. Just take your medicine. You made a decision, a business decision. That's fine. I mean, I don't even hate. I hate the ham-handed way in which they try to defend it.
Yep.
But just look, he wasn't going to re-sign here, and I'm not going to belabor baseball points, but
No,
he wasn't going to re-sign here, so you decided to get something before he left.
It's going to be a long year.
It's not a friggin' sin.
It's going to be a long season.
Back to the call, 617-779-7937. Steve's in Vermont. Hey, Steve.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, hello. I'm a Pats fan.
Nice.
I love Tom Brady, but I'm not going to not root for the Pats if Tom leaves. He's got to remember that he became who he is because of the Pats system. He was a 6th-round draft choice. He wasn't a high draft choice.
He was not.
You
don't think he would have been good anywhere?
Well, sure, he might have been just as good anywhere, but
he wouldn't have.
How many chances would he have gotten?
No, things fell into place. Steve, you're 100% right. Things fell into place for everybody involved, even us as fans. It really fell into place.
I think that we have to stay away from, if we can, with David's call and with yours a little bit, Steve, of saying one is wholly responsible for the other.
Yeah, because
it's so shared.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I mean, this year they went 12-4, and that's because the defense was comprised and anchored by a free agent that the Patriots backed the Brinks up truck for uncharacteristically, and he turned into the defensive player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff helps. That as much time as I'm spending making fun of Gunnar Olszewski and Jacoby Myers and the mismanagement of the offense, they won 12 games because they did a kick-ass job on the defensive side of the ball. And also
teams.
Because, yeah, and teams.
And I also think
they recovered a ton of punt fumbles.
And it's 20 years. So we have so much data to look at that, you know, Tom almost, he was suggesting before, you know, from 2000 to, or 01, I guess, to 09, that might have been a little bit more the fingerprints of Belichick, and then 10 on Brady. And overall, I would agree with that, but you can even go season by season. You know, the Super Bowl they won against the Falcons, I'm giving Brady more credit for. You know, the Super Bowl they won against the Eagles or whatever, the Rams, that's more Belichick. The one against the Rams is kind of an interesting one because the Super Bowl, I would say Belichick, but the AFC Championship game, I'd say Brady.
Brady.
Yeah. Like, you can go back and
you
forth.
You look at 13
it
and 15.
It is a symbiotic relationship
yeah.
here. They were both great for each other.
Oh, of course.
And there were things done, for instance, in 2016, that Brady, I'm sure, would have said that was the dumbest thing we could have done, i.e. releasing Jamie Collins at Halloween. That didn't hurt the way one would think that it would. And
yeah.
that's
so many
the
of those
vision
personnel
of Belichick.
Moves. Yeah, so many of those personnel moves don't come back and bite you in the backside.
Right.
Like
that,
you
that
expect.
We just don't envision in the media, fan base, or even in the locker room, or even on the coaching staff as having a shot at working.
Here's a simple fact, and you can go back through every draft class ever picked in the NFL. Sixth-round draft pick quarterbacks are camp arms.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how many can
they
find?
They usually don't even make the roster.
Gardner Minshew, I believe, was a sixth-round pick.
I mean, you got Unitas, who was like a 19th-round
right.
pick. But, I mean, the guys who elevate, and once you get past, in 2020, once you get past round three,
yeah,
you're pretty much hosed.
It's Gardner Minshew. Dak Prescott was a fourth-round pick, and that's why these guys kind of jump out at you because we did this exercise before. They're almost all first-round picks. And recently, you can talk about top 10 picks or number one overall picks.
And for a while, you couldn't, though. For a while,
they were
snake bit the first. But I think that was when the NFL was more prone to try and fit the player into what they did. Now, I think the NFL is more prone to doing what Bill Belichick does. Don't tell me what the player can't do. Tell me what he can do, and we'll try and find a way to work around that. I think that's why more top 10 quarterbacks work now than did previously.
Because like Kurt Warner was he was undrafted, obviously,
yep.
and that's a sort of a crazy story. Tony Romo was undrafted. But again, we're talking about the history of football.
Yeah, generally speaking, sixth-round draft picks are camp arms and then cut. And who knows, maybe Tom Brady would have ended up as the catcher for the Montreal Expos.
Yeah, you had no idea.
As opposed to being, you know, the greatest quarterback who ever played.
Right.
Now, he gets a lot of the credit for that.
He should.
So does Dick Raybine to begin with, who convinced them to draft him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the offensive staff here, the head coach, they had a lot to do with the development of Brady that allowed him to become that guy.
You have to provide him with the place to put his roots down and see what he can do. You have to give him that opportunity. I think on a lot of other teams, a sixth-round pick and Belichick's mentality in this program as opposed to the system has stated time and time again, we don't care how you got here. We care that you're here. First-round pick, undrafted free agent, whatever. We want to see what you do once you're here, and that's what counts, and that's what Brady took advantage of.
Tom, good to see you again, bud.
All right, guys.
Thanks.
See you
next week. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. This Brady Watch segment was brought to you by Northeast Electrical. They are powered by difference. Visit needcode.com. Right back to the calls on the other side. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.